Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 4Q 2019 Angel Oak Financial Strategies Income Term Trust Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you require further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to your speaker today, Randy Christman, Chief Marketing Officer. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Chris, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Angel Oak Financial Strategies Income Term Trust Fourth Quarter 2019 Investor Call. My name is Randy Christman, and I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at Angel Oak Capital Advisors. Our speakers today are portfolio managers Johannes Paulsen, Navid Agari, and Cheryl Pate. Today, we will be discussing the fourth quarter and since inception performance for the strategy. The team will also be explaining why they believe some of the best opportunities over the next 12 to 24 months exist within the financial sector. Before I hand it over to Johannes, I want to provide a quick update on the firm. First, Angel Oak's AUM on an NAV plus committed capital basis is now approximately $11 billion across our various products as of 12/31/19. Employee headcount has remained stable at 74 individuals, comprised of 22 investment professionals. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Johannes. Johannes, welcome.
Thank you, Randy, and welcome to this initial call for the Angel Oak Financial Strategies Income Term Trust. Before we dig a little bit deeper, I just wanted to give a little bit of a refresher on the investment strategy and the market opportunity. The fund seeks to find opportunities across the financial credit with the greatest risk-reward potential. Investment opportunities are evaluated on a relative basis and weighted by liquidity. The fund is focused on three main asset classes in the current environment: community bank debt, non-bank financials debt, and to a lesser extent, financial sector preferred and common equities. Angel Oak sees the best opportunities over the next 12 to 24 months in the community bank debt sector. In terms of the market opportunity, the sector remains extremely strong. The financial sector is near an all-time highs from a capital and credit quality perspective. Target investment universe is underrepresented in benchmarks and has little analyst coverage and institutional following. Niche market characteristics and the ensuing market dislocation may allow investors to extract excess yields. The banking sector in particular has added significantly more equity, has sharply reduced balance sheet risk, and has increased regulatory oversight and scrutiny. The insurance sector is a similarly highly regulated, low default risk sector. REITs have reduced leverage and increased diversification over the past decade. In terms of the asset classes, the fund is expected to be focused in three main asset classes in the current environment: community bank debt, non-bank debt financials, and to a lesser extent, preferred common equities focused on the financial sector. In terms of the community bank debt, it accounts for roughly 80% of the fund's holding at this time. We believe this segment offers one of the highest risk-reward potentials in the current environment. Our conviction in the underlying strength of the sector is driven by strong industry fundamentals, higher capital basis, strengthened regulatory oversight. Niche market characteristics and ensuing market dislocation may allow investors to extract excess yield. Increasing consolidation in the banking industry provides the potential for enhanced total return from price appreciation. The non-bank financial portion of the fund, which accounts for roughly 20% at this point, is really divided into two categories: non-bank financials and preferreds. We believe that small cap non-bank financial debt space is a similarly dislocated market. With little analyst coverage or institutional following, investors may be able to extract high relative coupons. Angel Oak participation in this market is focused on investment grade deals of publicly listed companies. Key opportunity is in the insurance sector, a similarly highly regulated, historically low default risk sector. On the REIT side, REIT referred equities, key opportunity in the mortgage REIT subsector, where companies are less levered and more diversified post-crisis. High coupons for cumulative preferreds typically little to no long-term debt above us in the capital structure, and positive industry fundamentals. But at that, I'm going to pass it over to Naveed for some of the more industry fundamentals.
Thanks, Johannes. It really has been an interesting macro environment. Obviously, many moving parts these days, but one of the most important developments has been the significant change in where leverage is concentrated in the markets. Much of the leverage that historically sat on consumer balance sheets has now moved to corporate and public sector balance sheets. Given that banks generally take exposure to the consumer, this contributes to the attractiveness of investing in the banking sector. Debt to GDP in the household sector moved from all-time highs around the crisis back down to pre-crisis lows, and really the inverse has played out with respect to corporates broadly as corporate leverage is approaching all-time highs. Even with this shift in corporate leverage, we're seeing corporate valuations at or near multi-decade highs from both an equity and debt perspective. It is interesting to note, however, that banks are really the only sector within the corporate credit landscape to delever during this time period. Banks today have 30% more equity capital than they did in 2007, again, the inverse of non-bank corporates. Additionally, post-crisis, there's been a significant tightening of lending standards, and banks have now settled into the post-crisis environment on the lending side, as we now see very little variance in bank lending standards quarter to quarter. With that, delinquency rates remain extremely low and are back to pre-crisis levels. This, coupled with the significant deleveraging in the banking sector, are the key drivers to the strong fundamental profile we see in this space. Bank loan growth also remains stable and prudent. We generally invest in banks with a stronger than average profile, and hence our portfolio has a better loan growth rate than the market, but still a reasonable and prudent amount of growth that Cheryl will touch on in a moment. With that said, I'll pass it over to Cheryl for her to give an update more specifically to the banking sector.
Great. Thanks, Naveed. I'm going to give our fundamental outlook on the banking sector, both in terms of earnings, M&A, and then issuance of community bank debt, given that this is our largest subsector concentration in FINS and really where we see the largest opportunity over the next 12 to 24 months. Just to recap fourth quarter earnings, generally roughly 60% of banks beat analyst expectations, which is higher than what we saw in the fourth quarter of 2018, and operating EPS for the group came in better than forecast, up about 3% year over year versus consensus of flat growth. The driver of the beat was revenues, which were better than expected, 4% year-over-year growth versus 3% forecast. And really the driver here is stronger fee income, largely driven by higher mortgage refinancing activity. Spread income was slightly weaker than expected on higher than forecast net interest margin compression, which was down 20 basis points year-over-year versus an estimated 18 basis point compression. Loan growth tracked somewhat below expectations, roughly 6.5% year-over-year growth versus 7.5% estimated. The community bank subsector continues to grow faster than the banking sector overall, more in the high single-digit range. Couple final points. Expenses, a little bit higher than forecast, up nearly 6% year-over-year, versus expectations for 5% growth. And really, I think a little bit of a surprise to the community in terms of the guidance for 2020. Asset quality remains pristine. Non-performing asset ratio was down 1 basis point to 58 basis points, and net charge-offs increased 1 basis point to 10 basis points overall, and credit really remains at cyclically low levels. In terms of our outlook for 2020,